the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm John Wells.
Our next guest is David Hall. He's the founder of Medic. It's a Provo, Utah-based company whose products help people monitor their complete well-being. One of the products is a toilet that gathers over 20 health metrics from, yes, human waste and various other body functions during each bathroom visit. Passively. Using artificial intelligence, Medic analyzes this data and creates personal health trends that you can monitor through an app. In addition, the smart toilet features a bidet, a heated seat, fume extractors, and multimedia, as well as self-cleaning. All very interesting. We're glad that David could join us. Welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thanks. Really, this is really my pleasure. Appreciate it.
So, a smart toilet, and it's funny because I think when people hear about this, they chuckle in the beginning. But when you see the toilet and you see that first, when you approach the toilet and stand on this pad underneath on the floor, it weighs you. And so this is the first of the 20 different metrics that it gathers. So maybe you start with where you got this idea.
Well, years ago in our lab, we had a scientist who knew a lot about human waste. He was a biologist. And he informed us that really we're throwing all the information down the toilet, literally. So it's interesting. We take a lot of medical information from urine and from blood, and those are after really the best filters in the world. Our body just creates very good filters that gets rid of all the bad stuff. All the bad stuff goes into our waste. And that's where we should be looking. Because that's where the cancer cells are. That's where all the, you know, things that are bad for the body have been, you know, gotten rid of. So knowing that, we then started putting some scientists on it to investigate how we could modify the toilet to start looking at these things without it being, you know, obtrusive to the person. So that was a big project. So it's taking us, we started this 15 years ago, and we looked at a lot of the mechanical issues, a lot of the hydraulic issues. We found we had to move from ceramic, for instance, which all toilets have been ceramic for years, to new specialty plastics, because the transducers, the sensors, need to be able to look through things, right? And ceramic's tough on that. So, for instance, if you need a clear zone for a transducer looking at some spectra, it can't be a piece of ceramic. It has to be plastic or glass or quartz. So we first created a platform where lots of neat transducers, which, by the way, are coming out all over the place because of our phones and the need for transducers in phones, that would be a platform. And so having created that platform, we're now starting to collect data. And we'll soon be entering clinical trials so that scientists and doctors can start making sense of it.
So you said a few moments ago that you got some scientists on it. So you are the managing partner at Hall Venture Partners, which is based in Provo. And you have a variety of different businesses. Maybe you should tell us about your background and some of the ventures.
So I grew up in a science family. So my father was the lucky one at 35 years old to learn how to make diamond from graphite. You know, how do you beat that one? So growing up in a scientific family, I was exposed to chemistry and physics, mechanics, hydraulics, the presses that my father had to create in his businesses are great big things that create a million PSI in 2,000 degrees centigrade. And then they also had to have computers. And the computers in the 50s and 60s were with tubes. And so I'd go into his lab and he'd have three programmers working to try and make this ancient computer to run his press, right, and to get the data from the press. So Hall Labs really started with my father and had this very broad background because of the science we were in required broadness. And then the lab just continued to grow, eventually got into a variety of things, and we're now very broad. We're doing a real fun three-wheeled motorcycle called Vanderhall that you see running around Park City even, and that's a real fun one, but required a lot of science and a lot of new engineering to make it work.
Is it electric?
There's an electric one as well, yep, version. So lots of fun that way, but we've looked at consumer products. We're kind of proud. Most things are internet, and we're the things of the internet, so everything we do moves, but it also has to be smart. And then that's why we're able to take on the medic issue via the toilet and feel confident that we could get something done.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with David Hall. He's the founder of Medic and also Hall Labs, which we'll be talking about a little bit more. And I want to mention to everyone that we've put a companion video on the Medic Lab, which is the very smart toilet, and that is on the KPCW Facebook page if you want to take a look at the capabilities of this extraordinary toilet. Your father taught you that good science means good business.
Yes, and so he was the kind of scientist that also was very practical.
Yeah.
And so when he invented diamond, the first diamond that was actually developed was really tiny, ugly-looking diamond. It wasn't the nice thing that we wear on a finger. But his technician, he encouraged his technician to get a whole bunch of them together. So they got a jar of them together, took them up to Norton, and made a grinding wheel out of it. And it performed 100 times, this really lousy diamond performed 100 times better than natural diamond because it was lousy. It broke up easily, became friable, sharp again. And so it launched the industrial age. It's why we have tungsten carbide cutting tools that are now sharp enough that we can do it automatically through CNC machines. So something that was kind of ugly and was not looked promising at all, he was practical enough to say, well, let's try something.
And you have put together something which is modeled after Thomas Edison Labs in Menlo Park, New Jersey. It's the Hall Labs. It's 25-plus companies, 200 engineers, scientists, specialists, many patents. It says 1,100 patents and applications in healthcare, sustainability, consumer products, construction materials, and more. Tell us about this campus.
So Edison... Edison had a lab that is really what we followed. What he did is put together a lot of different disciplines in one lab, and then also shop and lots of supplies so that the engineers and the scientists didn't have any excuse to not get it done. And then he also brought in patent agents and attorneys, embedded them right in the lab, and had the patents gleaned from the scientists and engineers. Engineers and scientists do not like to write patents. They hate it. So they'll have all these neat inventions, but they won't get them done.
Well, they hate it, but they also don't know how to do it.
Both. You're right, both. So you need to have the patent people who know how to write and know the process embedded in the teams. And that's what he did. So my father followed the same approach. He, in fact, was a patent agent, became a patent agent. So we've done the same thing. I'm not a patent agent, but we have patent attorneys and agents embedded in the lab. So that's why we have so many patents. But also a broad nature of people, really good shop, fab places, and all the little toys that, you know, scientists and engineers like. So it really is a fun place to work.
I wanted to ask you, back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, Bell Labs in Murray Hill, New Jersey, did basic research. Why the sky is blue? I mean, they just told their people to go out there and just explore. And they averaged a couple of patents a week on all the different things that they did. Nobody does basic research anymore. It's all about making money and about productizing and getting something out the door. Is your lab, is it more basic research, or are you pointing these people at specific projects?
No, we're like the Edison lab. So it's not basic science so much as trying to innovate, right? Innovation is really quite different than basic science. So when you innovate, what you're doing is taking a patchwork of a whole bunch of different things that are probably already out there, and you're putting them together into something that could be improving the economy or improving health, you know, improving things. So it ends up a product. And then the way we keep profitable is we'll take the projects, put them into companies, get the product selling, and then sell the company on to somebody else who can really scale it. And then the exit of that company brings the funds into the lab.
So it sounds like you have a great number of people working for you. You must be a big employer in Provo. How many are working at Hall Labs?
So the lab itself only employs about 200 people. And then the spin-off companies are where the large number of employees are. So what we do is we keep the lab small, and then a company which starts to grow, employees will go with that company and grow with it. So most of the employees reside in the companies that have already been sold.
And so are the companies mostly based in Provo, or are they elsewhere?
A lot of them are in Provo, but they're also in other places. So lots of times the technology will be sold to a company that might be in Houston or in Pennsylvania or even in Japan or Asia. So we don't dictate where the company ends up, but sometimes our employees go there.
Okay.
They'll follow it.
So going back to this very complex toilet, Medilab. So I've described how you approach the toilet. You stand on this pad. It takes your weight, but there are still 19 other metrics. We've talked about the excrement portion of it a bit, but when you sit down on the seat, it measures things like body temperature, I don't know, blood pressure?
Yes, so it can get blood pressure, and it also take your pulse, but also how long it takes for your blood flow to go from your heart to your leg.
Ah.
So that tells you the health of your arteries.
Wow.
And it's because we have these sensitive scales in the seat of the toilet as well as your feet. And so it can tell when your heart beats. And then it can also tell when that blood flows through your thigh. And that time and the pulse of it and kind of also the intensity of it tells you your artery health. So it's kind of scary in a way, but we've figured out quite a few things. And as the scientists really get into it more, they'll figure out much more.
Right. When do you expect it to be on the market?
So we're currently doing clinical tests and what's called beta tests. Alpha tests with our own employees throughout the plant. We have a bunch of toilets in all the bathrooms. Have been going on for several years. The beta tests and clinical tests are starting now. We expect it to take 2 years before we're commercially, you know, where it's a commercial unit that a person would buy.
So the Medic Lab, which is the smart toilet, is part of Medic, which is an example of the types of product-driven companies that you have within the Hall Labs umbrella.
That's correct.
And you have other companies. My Smart Blinds offers blind shades window devices that can be controlled by a smartphone and automatically adjust through built-in sensors. So that's another example.
That's another example.
And,
yes.
And how's that going with that company?
That product is selling very well, and that you can go online and find that. Mm-hmm. The neat thing about that product, it's solar powered, and then it gathers information at your window. We've been for years putting thermostats on our walls that are already insulated. That's not the heating and air conditioning problem, it's the windows. Mm-hmm. So by having light and temperature, humidity, and other sensors at the window, you can control the whole system better. Plus, you can then automatically start closing or shading blinds, which is really a good way to save energy.
Let's say you have a product that you're working on and everyone's looking at it a certain way, and some engineer sits down and looks at it completely different and comes up with a really interesting idea that he or she experiments with, and you decide to patent that idea. Would that be in the engineer's name, or will that be in the Hall Labs name?
It's in the engineer's name, and then what happens, the lab, it's assigned to the lab. So traditionally, what happens is you have inventors on ideas, and that's everybody that participated in the invention for at least one claim.
Right.
And then the patents are always assigned to some entity.
Yeah.
Because your job is sponsored by somebody.
Well, that's refreshing to hear. Correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding was that Thomas Edison always took credit for everything that was developed under the umbrella of Edison Labs.
Well, that's back in the olden times when you could get away with that. So
yeah.
Nowadays, yeah. you have to participate in at least every claim and be involved in the project, or you can't put your name on the patent.
No, but that's refreshing that you're allowing the engineer to share in this, because the engineer is working really hard to come up with this novel idea. And that's part of the incentive for working at your organization, I would think.
Right. For instance, about seven of our engineers received awards at the Genius Awards in Salt Lake, Utah this spring, because they were among the top inventors in Utah. So, yes, we have a lot of people that are participating in these inventions.
And they gave you a Lifetime Achievement Honoree Award for that Utah Genius Award back in 2014.
Yes, I was honored at that time. That was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Lifetime Achievement, that's pretty cool. What did you do for that? I mean, it's all the different things that you do, or recognizing a specific project?
I don't think they looked at one specific project. It's just that I've had the opportunity and the pleasure, because of my situation, having been very well established by my father, to be involved in so many different inventions.
Hmm. So you are quite well known for your concept of creating these utopian communities, and I haven't seen it in the news for a while, but the New Vistas communities, one you were pursuing in Vermont, one in the Provo area. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to call it an intentional community, but just a design for a community that's sustainable. And maybe you can tell us, are you still pursuing those, or is it on hold?
Yes. In fact, if you look at the driving force behind the Hall Labs that I'm in charge of, every company can be traced back to the community concept. So the sustainable community concept is what drives the individual inventions. We cannot have sustainable communities without lower cost health. We cannot have sustainable communities without the good electric cars. So Vanderhall comes back to that. You need to control the energy in the homes. So that's why smarter home stuff. And then adaptive is the company that's focusing on transformable space so that we can live well and like in a mansion on much, much less space. So what we have is a whole bunch of companies that are focused on an issue. Utility is focused on trying to figure out how do we get all the utility things we need local and individual instead of massive, great, big, huge central systems. So you can trace it all back to the even crazier idea of the community.
And I know that there was a lot of controversy, especially with the neighbors. Have you made amends with the neighbors and are able to go ahead with it? Or have you thought, maybe I just need to start this somewhere else?
No.
Like Park City.
The communities themselves will eventually be all over the place. But I think what I was able to do is convince people that it's not happening right now. Mm-hmm. So there's less tension.
Yes.
Most developers are doing something that's going to happen in 3 years. And so people get really uptight.
Yep.
But all of this concept is way out in the future. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow.
And your son shares your same vision. He's also in...
I hope so.
You hope so.
You never know.
Okay. Wow. Well, very interesting conversation. Our guest is David Hall. He's the founder of Medic, based in Provo, and many other companies, all under the umbrella of Hall Labs. And we'll look forward to seeing that toilet around. It sounds very interesting.
Buy one in 2 years.
Well, thanks for joining us. Nice to have you.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. If you missed part of the show or you want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab.
We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows wherever you find your podcasts, so you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name.
So look for KPCW Cool Science Radio and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.